Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard here with you for the next half hour to take a look at the sporting action on the Isle of Man and beyond in the days ahead on tonight's programme. Pre-season preparations are well underway in Manx football, with just a few weeks to go until the start of the 2026-27 season. We hear about some of the latest summer developments. Elsewhere, hundreds are expected to descend on Ramsey this weekend for the Isle of Man Marathon and Half Marathon Championships on Sunday. An 8-strong Isle of Man snooker team is on its travels across the water to take on counterparts from the UK and Ireland this weekend. And we hear from Isle of Man professional boxer Jay Burden following the announcement of her latest title fight coming up in just over 2 months' time. That is all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time is not long gone, 6:31 p.m. Hope you've had a wonderful week so far, and let's hope that wonderful weather out of the window holds over the weekend. Well, we're going to turn our attention to, well, something that has been on a bit of a rest over the last couple of months, club football on the Isle of Man, because some developments over the summer, as well as the big information that we have the new fixtures available to us for the 2026-27 Manx football season across the men's leagues. And to go through things as ever, well, we've let him have some time off to pick up a little bit of a tan where possible, I guess. He joins us once again in the studio after a little bit of time away. Tony Meppham, welcome back.
Welcome back to you as well, Rob. I listened to your voice when you were in Glasgow, so well done with all the reporting that you did up there, bringing all the information to us. Absolutely brilliant to see two medals coming home. But we're getting ready now for the football season. It all sort of kicks off, if you like, pre-full fixture list on Friday the 21st of August for the Eric Fletcher Charity Shield.
Indeed. Just before we come to the fixtures themselves, actually, just generally from an FA perspective, how have things been behind the scenes getting things ready for the new season so far?
It's always tough, towards the start of the season, because you hear rumours of clubs, what's maybe happening, what isn't happening. We look to make sure that the clubs who maybe only had one team last season will have two teams this season, and just basically plan right round. Now, there's no sort of major changes to the senior men's fixtures this season, no major changes to the women or the under-18s, because, it works. People keep saying it needs to change, but, we've had a look at it, and we just feel it fits. So, yeah, well, fixtures are out, and I think the full set are out now, so everyone will be looking just to see what weeks they can go away when they've got their free weeks.
Indeed. Well, before we get to the opening week of the new league season, we'll start with, well, what is the traditional pre-season teaser, if you like, to come, because we've got the Eric Fletcher Charity Shield, as Tony rightly alluded to before, on Friday the 21st of August, and that's going to see the Canada Life Men's Premier League champions from last season, Peel, up against last season's ECAP FA Cup winners, Corinthians. Tony, it's a fixture that on paper at least looks like quite the statement ahead of the new season.
Yeah, it always is, and I think the Eric Fletcher gives you a pointer of where it could go, because it's the first chance of silverware, and Peel, the champions, Corinthians, who won the other three trophies, had a great season, and now you just wonder, what's going to happen with these two teams this season. Now, when you look at Peel, you've probably picked up that Thomas Brown is in the FC Isle of Man squad, so what his intentions are, I'm not too sure, but he's certainly a huge player for Peel Football Club. When you look, he's won the Player of the Year 2 years on the bounce and the Golden Boot. You don't want to miss out on him. There's talk of maybe one or two other guys moving on. I know there's two or three that are travelling for Peel, so Peter Kenyuk's gonna miss one or two players. Now for Corinthians, it's pretty well the same squad. Bevan Colley will sort of play for FC Isle of Man, or he might come back into Corinthians. We'll wait and see on that one. The one or two sort of players, Ryan Nelson, he goes to America. You've got Nathan Little, who will go to America as well. So one or two players missing there. But I don't know, you've picked up on Paul Jones has come into the Corinthians setup now. Steve Burns will take over as manager, and Paul Jones is in there alongside Ed Walter and also Norrie Little. So strong back line there of organised, coaches and managers for Corinthians. And Peel, they'll be looking to pick up one or two players, and there is a little bit of rumour circulating that one or two really good players could be joining them very shortly, but we won't mention them because we don't know 100%.
Absolutely. We'll wait until that sort of information is confirmed. So the Eric Fletcher Charity Shield, Peel versus Corinthians, Friday, the 21st of August. 8 days later, it's the opening day of the 2026-27 Isle of Man Football League season. Now, we should caveat straight from the start that all fixtures for the opening weekend and indeed throughout the season, which have now been published, do remain subject to changes depending on various different circumstances throughout the campaign. But looking at the first weekend then, and look at the Canada Life Men's Premier League, six fixtures, Braddon versus St Mary's, Colby, newly promoted Division 2 champions, up against United, Corinthians versus Rushen United, the defending champions start Peel at home to Ramsey. Ramsey Centre, an old boys promoted last season, are at home to Union Mills, and St John's United hosting Laxey. So, Tony, which fixtures maybe stand out on the opening weekend in the top flight?
I think there's some big fixtures in there this season, and certainly the one I'm looking at is Corinthians against Rushen, because Rushen, Cameron Dudley's transferred to Corinthians, and Rushen, I think, you know, sort of busy enough out there registering maybe one or two new players as well. So be interested to see how that goes. Peel against Ramsey. Well, Ramsey absolutely flying, because there's two or three players gone from A United to Ramsey. That'll make them stronger. New management team, you know, in there, which is great to see. Adam Hudson will be the manager, and Stephen Leese, who's coached many and many Ramsey players, will be there. So they'll be an improved side. And when you look at St John's against Laxey, again, Laxey have got one or two players back from long-term injuries. Brody Patience will be back in there, Joe Walters as well. So, you know, they're three good, strong fixtures. But, you know, it's like everything else. It can twist and turn so much in the next couple of weeks.
Indeed it can. Turning to Ardonagh and Drigon Limited Division 2. Now, before we get to the fixtures, Tony, just something I want to point out for clarity, because this is something I noticed straight away this season. Of course, we did have a smaller league in Division 2 last season, hence why teams played each other three times. Certain teams only fielded combination sides. But looking in here, at the very least, the fixtures, we've got the returns of Michael United, Douglas Athletic and Jims. So is the intention that those teams will run Division 2 teams this season?
Well, at the moment, Rob, we're not 100% sure, because we set the fixtures out because clubs have intentions to put two teams in, whatever league it is, Premier League and Division 2. Now, this week, the FA received information from Jims to say that Jims and Douglas Athletic were going to join together. So the club would be called Jims, from what I'm hearing. And, you know, whatever Douglas Athletic sort out with the junior setup, I'm not too sure. So it's still early days, but they have released it. So the information is out there. But at the moment, it does look, it's not 100%, because, again, I asked the coach for Douglas Athletic only a few weeks ago how they were looking this year. And he said, we're hoping to have two teams.
OK, looking at the fixtures themselves then on the opening day in Division 2. Castletown versus Douglas High School Old Boys. Old Boys relegated last season. Douglas Roll versus Douglas and District. Governors Athletic versus Michael United. Malou versus Foxdale, who finished bottom of the Premier League last season. Paul Rose United versus Douglas Athletic. And St George's versus Jims. Any standouts there, Tony?
Difficult, because Malou against Foxdale. You know, Foxdale just working on their pitch at the moment. So Malou have signed one or two really good players, so that'll make them stronger. And when you remember the end of the season, they were quite strong. Governors Athletic against Michael. Now, Michael, their intentions are to have two teams, so we'll wait and see how they do for numbers. But Governors Athletic are struggling a little bit with players. They're trying to gather enough players through for two teams, but we'll see how that unfolds. Douglas Royal against Douglas and District. Douglas and District, I know this is away, but they'll hopefully be on the new pitch at Nobles Park. And Castletown against Old Boys, and Pulrose against Douglas Athletic, we don't know. But Pulrose and Castletown and Old Boys, I think, will be three strong teams in this Division 2.
Indeed. So that's Division 2 that we mentioned. Just a quick mention for Canada Life Combination 1 opening weekend. It'll be St Mary's versus Braddon, Ayr United versus Colby, Laxey versus St John's United, Ramsey versus Peel, Rushen United versus Corinthians, and Union Mills at home to Ramsey Centre and Old Boys. And then Ardern and Drugon Limited Combination 2. The opening weekend looks like Douglas High School Old Boys versus Castletown, Douglas and District versus Douglas Royal, Douglas Athletic versus Paul Rose United, Foxdale versus Malou, Jims versus St George's, Michael United versus Governors Athletic, and again, just that quick caveat, and as Tony has mentioned also, may be subject to change in the coming weeks ahead of the new season. Well, Tony, just very quickly as well, we've got around a minute or so here, just a quick mention for the Women's League this season as well. How are things looking for that? There may be some changes.
Yeah, there is a change. Malou won't be in the league this season, so that's a shame. We drop one side there. Douglas and District are still looking to enter the league, but they've just got to make sure they've got enough numbers. But the rest of them, there's a few big transfers going on in there, which might be good for the game, Rob, because, you know, one, let's pick her out, Becky Corkish, the captain of the Ireland side, is moving from Peel to Rushen. So, you know, with people like that moving around, it can change the football dramatically in women's football.
It is, Tony. Thank you very much this evening.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Turning to athletics now, and the 2026 Isle of Man Marathon and Half Marathon Championships are one of the headline events in the north of the island this weekend. Both races will take place in and around Ramsey on Sunday on what is known as the Manx Northern Course. As was the case 12 months ago, the meeting, organised by Isle of Man Veteran Athletes Club, has attracted a big entry with more than 500 participants signed up across both events. It also forms the first part of the 2026 edition of a challenging endurance series coming up over the next week, as Isle of Man athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths explains.
We have two races in one, effectively. We have the marathon, which is over two laps of the course that starts and finishes in Ramsey. The half marathon completes one circuit of that particular course, and both races finish in the grounds of Ramsey Football Club at Ballacloan, where there's always a really good atmosphere. We've got yet another massive entry this year. We've got, for the marathon, which in fact is the Isle of Man Marathon Championship event, there's 125, but the really big entry is in the half marathon, where we have 461, giving a total of 586, which is absolutely incredible across the two races. Last year we had a total of 522 finishes, so there's a chance that we could get close to that, or possibly even beat that this year. Both the marathon and the half marathon form the first part of the No Rest for the Wicked series, which is six races in 6 days, hence the name. And there are basically two leagues. There's one for the people who run the marathon on the first day, and there's another league for the people who run the half marathon on the first day, and it's calculated over aggregate time over all six races. But looking at the marathon initially, which is the Isle of Man Championship event, the winner for the past 2 years has been Sam Jones, who unfortunately has had injury problems this year, so he's not entered for this one. However, the women's winner for 2025 was local athlete Catherine Cubbon, who is entered again, and I think she's got as good a chance as anyone, I think, of possibly retaining her title. She's a really strong athlete, especially over the longer distances. I think in the main race we have James Reed, who finished second last year, but he'll have plenty of opposition. We had David Williams, who finished third in 2025, and then there are others in the form of the likes of Dave Bignall, Tom Felton Smith, there's Fortune and Zama, John Quay, who's a really strong marathon runner, Kevin Schimmel, Harry Wetherill, better known as a fell runner, but a really strong road runner as well. They'll all be in contention, I think. And then I think possibly challenging Catherine in the women's race, we've got visiting athlete Carmel Edwards, who actually won the half marathon in 2022, Jane Farquhar, who's just ever consistent, whether it's running or long distance walking, you know, she's always there or thereabouts. So I think those are the main contenders probably in the marathon event. Looking at the half marathon, which starts 30 minutes after the marathon, the marathon starts at 8:30 on Sunday, the half marathon starts at 9 o'clock. Both the 2025 winners are not entered this year. Corin Leeming, unfortunately, is injured at the moment, so although he's entered, he's a non-starter. So I think we're looking at, in the half marathon, the likes of Will Draper, an outstanding triathlete and who's been in great form in cycling recently. He won the race in 2021 in one of the fastest times that we've had for that event. We've got Lewis Brew, Nick Colburn, Andrew Isaac, again better known as a triathlete probably, but a very strong runner as well. We've got an under 20 runner, Reggie Osgood, who just gets better and better. Liam Parker, former Parish Walk winner of course, Joel Smith, who was last year's half marathon No Rest overall champion, and Paul Jennings. So that's you know, that's a pretty good scutch of challenges, I think, for the men's title. And then in the women's, the champion last year was Krista Kane. Now of course she's been doing great things elsewhere recently. She's not doing the series, but I believe she might be doing the 10k on Tuesday. So I think the main contenders in the women's half marathon are probably going to be Kirsty Barber, a junior athlete Eleanor Cayley, who's really strong, Amber Carriage, Clara Isaac, Becky Watterson. I think they'll all go pretty well. And I think one of the things is that with the tactics of having the overall championship over 6 days, is how do you approach the half marathon or even the marathon on the first day? Do you give it everything and risk burning out for the rest of the week, or do you keep a little bit in hand I think the general consensus is that it's a disadvantage to lose maybe 5 or 6 minutes on the first day. I think the general consensus is get a good time in the bank on the first day and then try and hold on.
I was going to get onto that, and the fact that, because of course there's no rest for the Wicked Series, I suppose one of the beauties and quirks of it really, of these six races in 6 days, is that they're so different to one another. You can't compare the marathon and half marathon this weekend to, say, the Peel Hill race, can you?
No. You've got completely different races, different skill sets. You'll get runners who aren't specialist hill runners by any means, you know, who will be running on Peel Hill on Monday night. I remember Krista Kane did it last year and ran very well because she's a very good athlete. Just to give a brief overview, the races from Monday to Friday next week, they all start at 7 p.m. Monday evening, we've got the Peel Hill race organised by Western AC. Tuesday night is the Ramsey 10K organised by Northern AC, which starts and finishes at Murrig Park, and it's a three-lap course. And on Wednesday, we've got the Killer Mile organised by Manx Fell Runners. That goes from Marine Drive up to the mast on the top of the hill. That's done as a time trial, so you get competitors starting groups of, it's either 5 or 10. I'm not sure how it's going to be organised this year. Thursday night, we've got the Manx Harriers organised Foxdale 5, which is quite a hilly road race. And then the baton goes back to Western AC again on Friday evening for the 7-mile trail race, which starts and finishes in Peel, and it goes via St John's and Knocksharry. I should just mention that entries for the marathon and half marathon have closed now. Entries for the Killer Mile, Manx Fell Runners, close on Sunday night. For the Ramsey 10K, it's Monday night. The other three races, the Peel Hill, the Foxdale 5 and the Peel Trail Race, are all entries on the night.
Isle of Man Athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths there. So just a reminder, the 2026 Isle of Man Marathon and Half Marathon Championships taking place in and around Ramsey this Sunday. The marathon will get underway from 8:30 a.m. on the day on Morag Promenade, and the half marathon, the slightly later time of 9 a.m. on North Shore Road. And as Dave mentioned as well, and just a reminder, that entries for this weekend's Isle of Man Marathon and Half Marathon Championship have now closed.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Turning now to snooker, and the Isle of Man has an 8-strong team on the road this weekend to take on counterparts from the UK and Ireland. The Isle of Man is sending men's and masters squads to be part of the 2026 Home International, which is being held in Leeds from today until next Friday. It'll see local players test their skills against high-quality opposition from England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. Well, this tournament remains an important part of the Manx snooker calendar, and Isle of Man team manager and men's captain Daryl Hills been telling Manx Radio why that's the case.
Well, I think obviously mainly the level of competition, obviously, because, you know, it's sort of every country or nation, sorry, tries to put their best teams forward. So it's nice to go away and compete against different players, because obviously over here we can end up obviously playing the same players quite regularly. So it's good for players to go away and see a different standard, if you like, across the board, and see obviously different styles of play as well, which is good for them to come up against.
And that's the thing, is that it's not just different players and the different ways they play, but also, like you say, the standard as well of what you're going to be coming up against. How much do you, I suppose, as players and as an association, need that from time to time throughout the season?
Yeah, you definitely do. Yeah, you can get into, I think it's the same anywhere where it's a small field of players. You know, you could get into sort of a bubble, really. And you sort of, I think you forget or lose touch of what it is like to come up against so many different players so often, which is some advantage I think the other nations have. But yeah, so it's good to go away and get that experience for our players here. And you always find actually that they, particularly when they return as well, they've sort of stepped the game up a gear by just being in that environment, really. And obviously over here we've got such a range of ability and standard, which is the same anywhere, but when you go to a tournament like this, of course, as I've said, every nation has tried to field a stronger team as they can, so the standard is all the same, really. You know, it's you know, whoever you come up against, you're going to have a pretty good game on your hands. So it's good to sharpen them up for that.
Plenty of experience across the two teams, the men's and masters, that you're taking. You've got one newcomer this year in Niles Wilson as part of the men's team. How valuable an experience will that be for Niles?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely will be. I mean, what we've found in the last few years, where more of our players have started to go to this tournament and gain experience, it's then allowed them to progress further than that to European and world events. And this is really a good stepping stone for that. So obviously we've got our experienced players going over, and that's great because they know the environment. They know straight away what they're going to, and they should ease themselves back into it pretty quickly in the first couple of frames, hopefully. But for Niles, you know, he's what it's all about for us, really. He's had a good season. He's obviously earned his place through the rankings system, which is how the teams are selected. He's gained the chance now to represent the island at the first level, basically, internationally. And yeah, so we just hope, obviously, he's going to enjoy it. There's obviously no real expectations on him from my side. It's just to go and enjoy himself, and hopefully gives himself a good account of what he's capable of, and enjoys it, comes back hungry for more, and maybe can be then representing us further afield, you know, in the years to come.
Absolutely. And looking back 12 months ago now, the Isle of Man had a pretty positive campaign at the home internationals last time as well. The Masters reached the final of the Cup, and the men's team very nearly got there as well. As also, how good would it be if you were to able to match or even possibly better that this time around?
Matching it would be great. Matching it would be great. We had a really good time there last year. I've always said our little aim really would be to make a cup final. Obviously the Masters did that last year, which was great for them. I'd love the men's to be able to do that as well. So we fell short by one frame last year in a deciding frame in the semi-final. So yeah, it would be a real boost to maybe even pull off a win in the cup final would be excellent. But yeah, just to be competitive, you know, the Isle of Man is competitive now. Year on year we're going there, and we certainly don't feel like we're making the numbers up anymore, which was as it was a case of once upon a time. So I think the other nations have got to learn that as well in the last couple of years, that the Isle of Man is now a bit of a certainly competition for them anyway. You know, we're not an easy walkover draw for them, and we can, you know, if we go there and both teams we hit a bit of form, we can give any of those teams trouble. So that's what the aim is anyway.
And the first match for the Isle of Man will be for the Master Squad against England A, which is getting underway shortly at 7 o'clock tonight.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
And finally tonight, we're going to take a look at boxing, and Isle of Man pro fighter Jay Burden has yet another major opportunity to make waves in her career in the coming months. Well, having claimed her first title back in June, the Grenade is now set to face Shauna Brown for the vacant WBA Gold and IBF International Lightweight titles on Sunday the 25th of October. What's more, the showdown will be a headline fight for a show taking place at the iconic York Hall in London. Well, following the announcement of this big duel, Burden, who's the reigning Commonwealth Silver Super Featherweight champion, told me what it means to have the chance to move a step closer to a world title challenge in future.
To be honest with you, it still doesn't really feel real, if I'm honest with you. I don't think it's really quite sank in, like, how much of a huge opportunity it is. You know, my opponent, Shauna, she's, you know, extremely well known. She's got a huge following behind her, so she'll have a big Irish contingent there on night. But look, I think the one thing that favours me the most is that there's absolutely no pressure on me whatsoever. I think when the fight was announced, I think a lot of people were a bit like, well, who's Jade? And, you know, on the 26th of October, I can show them exactly who I am and what I can do. So I'm excited.
Just on the point where you say that maybe you might be considered by some as either an unknown or even an underdog there, do you thrive off that a little bit? The fact that, not that people are writing you off in any sense, but you don't have that expectation going in, perhaps. And also, you can be the one to spring a surprise.
Yes, no, absolutely. I think, like, I've just seen a few little comments on social media. Like, it's hard not to have a look, isn't it? But yeah, just I think people think it's going to be an easy night for her. But yeah, that's by all means, when I've looked at all her past previous opponents, she won't have been in with anyone like me, and I think she'll have a shock on the night 100%. So listen, I'll go back into training camp, move back to Liverpool in a few weeks time, and I'll be locked in. So she just needs to work hard, because yeah, she'll be in for a hard night.
And considering the fact that you're now, you know, a Commonwealth champion as of the last couple of months as well, how much confidence have you taken from that over the last few weeks and leading up to this, that kind of tells not just you but other people that you belong in this bracket for these opportunities?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think if you'd have told me at the beginning of my professional career that I'd say if I retired winning a silver Commonwealth title, I'd have been absolutely over the moon. But I think I'm just like, I've come on so much within the last kind of year that I think I just need to have a little bit more belief in myself. And I think I showed that when I won the title, that, you know, me when I'm relaxed and enjoying my boxing, that I think as long as I put my mind to it, I can kind of do anything and achieve anything. So it's really exciting times. And I know that this fight, if I beat Shauna, it kind of changes my life in a sense that to fight for a world title is going to be more big nights coming. So You know, obviously I'm not looking past her at all by any means, because I know it's a tough task ahead. But yeah, I have a lot of self-belief. I've got good people behind me, and I'm ready to take this opportunity with both hands.
And of course, not just your opponent and what's at stake, but also the venue as well. It's an iconic boxing venue, British boxing venue at York Hall as well. That must be exciting.
Oh, so exciting. But, you know, I've always said I would have loved to have boxed at York Hall, but I think to then headline the event as well, it's just, it's going to be a special, special night, and I'm super excited for it.
You've already mentioned it there as well. It's obviously a change in weight class, going from super featherweight to lightweight as well. So how challenging or how straightforward is that for you?
Yeah, I make super featherweight easy. If anything, I was kind of considering going down to featherweight, but, you know, I can hold my own at lightweight. You know, I boxed at lightweight as an amateur. I had my first couple kind of around the lightweight weight class, but yeah, it doesn't really worry me in a sense. So it just kind of means I can eat more. So that's it's obviously an added bonus. And I don't really have to worry about a weight cut as such. So yeah. It's all good. It's fine.
And on the subject of supporters as well, I mean, you've always had, and particularly for that Commonwealth belt that you won recently, you had some great support over there. What has, I suppose, the response been from your followers since this fight was announced?
Oh, it's been absolutely massive. Yeah, overwhelming, in fact. You know, it's obviously a huge, huge night that everyone wants to be part of. And yeah, I'm obviously extremely grateful for that. And without everyone that's supported me in the past, I wouldn't have been able to have a night like this. So yeah, I know that Shauna will have a big contingency, but I think people from the Isle of Man will do us all proud as usual. And it'll be a night to remember for sure.
And of course, just on that perspective as well, supporters will no doubt be interested in the ticket situation. What can you tell us at the moment around that?
Yeah, I should have my hands on some tickets in the next coming weeks. I want to do, I'll get a post on social media and we'll get them out, and people can start kind of planning and booking their way down to London. So yeah, just keep your eyes open for my social pages.
I just find as well, on a quite general note, regardless of what the result will be in October, you know, what more does this, a fight like this involving an Isle of Man fighter, what more does it add to, I suppose, the status of Isle of Man boxing at the moment?
Yeah, it's massive. It just shows, doesn't it? Like, I think if you want to try and be the best, then, you know, you do have to make those sacrifices, and you've got to get away, and you've got to be amongst the best, and you've kind of got to get used to feeling uncomfortable, which I have done. And I did throw it, you know, I threw myself into it, you know, for the Katie Smith fight. And it just showed on the night that if you put the hard work in, then you absolutely can get the results. So I'm just going to roll with it. I'll always say yes to any opportunity. I feel like I'm good enough. I believe in myself. So yeah, it's we're going in the right direction. That's the main thing.
That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks to my guests as always. And don't forget, if you want to catch up on anything you may have missed on tonight's programme, it will be available as a podcast later this evening at manxradio.com. All that's left for me to say is have a wonderful Friday and a wonderful weekend as well. Until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.